Welcome to Two Songs, One Couple, where a geeky metalhead husband swaps songs
with his nerdy country girl wife. Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us on our musical chat. What have we been doing lately?
We have been binging quite a lot of shows.
We have this ADD too. Why don't we just fucking finish this show? We got like 7 episodes into a show. Well, we get distracted and like, ooh, what's this?
Or we need like a break from it because we binge it so much. And it gets really serious. And then you're like, oh, it's too serious.
Like Giri and Haji, we binged a few episodes and then we stopped at like right at the end.
Because it got super serious. That is a good show though. I did enjoy it.
That is a good show.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about the last episode of Giri Haji. And there's that one particular scene that stands out and is very...
Artistic.
Artistic and unexpected. And at first I was confused, but once I thought about it, it's very well done and conveys a lot of ideas in a different way.
And emotion. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I did laugh in the beginning because I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's unexpected. Completely out of left field.
Yeah.
In the end, it works.
Oh, yeah. So we highly recommend...
Giri Haji. But what we've been watching lately is Wu-Tang, an American Saga. Saga. An American Saga.
Somebody's all of a sudden from the Midwest.
An American Saga.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that one. I mean, it makes you think because it does use real people and real artists. It does make you think that it's, you know, 100% factual and nonfiction, but it's not. It's like loosely based on their experiences and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still really good. It actually makes me want to listen to Wu-Tang because I've always known of Wu-Tang and respected the individual artists that came out of Wu-Tang. Like, I love Method Man and, you know, I know of ODB, but I've never...
one of his songs.
Right. Least. Yeah.
Hey, Dirty.
Yeah.
Gonna do some laundry.
That's not
it's
right.
It's weird, right? No, they use his song to promote the LG wash tower to wash your clothes. And you imagine this rapper from Staten Island grew up like in the projects and stuff. And then he created this song and it ends up advertising washing machines to moms and dads that now should be his age. It's crazy to think that.
I mean, that song was hard hitting when it first came out. And it's not until now where like all of us who grew up listening to that have accepted it and like to see it now because we're all old, you know what I mean? So it's like become more tame because when it first came out, we loved it. Now it's being used like a throwback because we're all old and we want washing machines.
And yeah, they're really hitting on that. Our generation with the advertisements and like the Geico commercial with Tag Team in it.
Yeah. I love
where it's
that
like
commercial.
The parents are getting down to tag team. And then the teenage daughter just walks away. Just like, what the fuck is this? This is, this is our life. Okay, we're getting distracted. Wu-Tang, an American Saga. You were saying it makes you want to get into them?
It does. You know, I'm sure I've heard one or two of their songs. I've never like dived into their discography or anything like that. And watching the show just brings me back to like how so many group members are good artists in and of themselves. And it makes me want to go back and see like where they started and get into Wu-Tang a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I've listened to a couple albums, but I've not really gotten into them either. We fucked around enough. That's
Did we though?
I think so. Shall we get into it?
I am hyped. So what song you got for me today?
So the song I gave to you is Rituals by Rollo Tomasi. It's from their 2018 album, Time Will Die and Love Will Bury It. Okay, what are your first impressions?
I was a little nervous when the song starts because I was like,
why?
God damn it, did he give me another noise one? But then like it started to get better. The drums and the guitar come in after a little bit of noise, and I thought that that was fine. I would accept that. And then the song started to like grow and change and morph, and I really dug it. Like, it's a rhythmic headbanger is what I wrote down, and I wrote that it's kind of cool. It's a female singer. I wouldn't have known that it's a female singer without that portion of clean vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty awesome that, you know, her growly voices, her growly vocals are on point, right?
Yeah, she crushes it.
Yeah. The clean is really good too, because even then it's still got that like metal vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes mm-hmm. when it's a song that goes in between growl and clean vocals, it's a little like jarring because the growl is so harsh and then the clean is so pretty. You don't get that with this one. It fits. It totally works. I liked that a lot. So I like how the song changes. Like, it's super diverse. One of the things that works between us is our difference in styles. And there's like clear differences between our tastes
for
music,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And I think one of the major differences that this song brought to my mind was that the music is so dynamic.
Uh-huh.
There's movements kind of to it, even though it's not like this epically long song. It's still like there's clear distinctions and parts and segments to the song, and it's not a repeat of something that was before necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my songs tend to be pretty damn static for mm-hmm. the full length of that song.
Yeah.
If anything changes, it kind of repeats back to it a lot. And so I liked that in this song.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that it didn't repeat or stay the same, that it constantly changed and grew. It begins with this stupid noise shit, and then it quickly moves into like a pretty headbangy metal type stuff. That's my technical term, headbangy metal type.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
It goes in between and utilizes different like drums, which I like a lot. So there's portions of the song where the drum beat is typical and it's like a 2/4 snare, right? Like mm-hmm. that's what most songs are in.
Yeah.
And then like it transitions to double bass. Yeah, I'm banging my head. Yep, yep. I'm nodding it. I like it. I'm digging it kind of thing. So overall, I liked it. That was kind of like a chaotic review of the song.
That was a good first impression.
And then the last thing I want to say is that I liked the ending a lot, where it just kind of ends on like the taps on the hi-hat.
Cool.
Yeah, so good job, sir. So I'd like to know a little bit more about the band. Like, I didn't look them up or anything before this. I just know that there's a female singer and their name sounds Italian.
They are a British band. They're from Sheffield, England. I don't know where that is. But their name comes from LA Confidential.
Oh.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
I barely remember it, but I do remember liking it.
Yeah. Russell Crowe, before he was crazy.
And Kevin Spacey. He's cool, right?
Awesome. Before he was crazy.
Oh, shit. Guy Pearce. Yeah, Guy Pearce, you're A-okay so far, Guy Pearce.
Way to be a decent human being.
Anyway, in that movie, one of the characters, I think it's Guy Pearce, has a father that was a cop and was murdered.
Mm.
And his murderer was never caught.
Oh, that's right.
And the name of the alias of this mystery person was Rollo Tomasi.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I'm giving this to you now because, well, they have a new single that just came out and they're releasing an album later this year. So, you know, they got me kind of excited and thinking about this band again. And I went through and listened to this album, Time Will Die and Love Will Bury It. And to go back to talk about previous episode where we talked about the Dillinger Escape Plan, that band has left the void because they're no longer a band and I'm missing that sound in my library, so to speak.
I could see that.
And this band kind of helps fill it
because
they have that hardcore, mathcore elements to it and they're different, but they also retain that feel.
I could see that.
Yeah, you talked about the lead vocalist. Her name is Eva Spence. She started out just as the keyboard player of this band a long time ago.
Mm.
They couldn't find a singer, I guess. So she decided to step up to the mic. And throughout her infancy as a screaming, yelling vocalist, she said that she would like practice in her car with music blasting at the same time. You know, with all the other noise around, with the music like cranked up, it gave her more confidence to scream.
That's very cool. I mean, it worked for her because she's great at it now.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like to sing in their car? The only downside with singing and practicing in the car is your voice and your vocals stem from your breath.
Yeah.
And the way you breathe and get air deep into your lungs is different in a car versus standing up.
Right. That's true.
And especially with growling and stuff, you got to be really careful that you're breathing right, because otherwise you're going to mess up your vocals.
Yeah.
But I'm happy it worked for her, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. I also wanted to talk about this bullshit label, female-fronted bands. When I say that, what pops up into your head?
Are we doing word association? Because if we are, it's baby metal.
Yeah, just go. Baby metal? Oh, well, yeah.
Or Evanescence?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would go Evanescence or like a symphonic. There's a female singing and there's it's a metal band. So clearly it's got to have some symphonic leanings.
Like Nightwish?
Yeah, the label female-fronted bands try to become a thing, but it makes no sense because it doesn't mean anything. It's not a genre or a subgenre. It doesn't tell you what the music sounds like. There's a stereotype associated with it.
Gotcha.
This doesn't sound like any of that stuff, right?
Right. Not at all.
So a female fronted band doesn't necessarily mean anything except there's a female on the vocals. That's not going to tell you how it sounds.
Right.
And bands sound wildly different from each other that have a female at the front. Just like when it has a male at the front. Doesn't matter. Band can sound like anything.
Do people really like use that as a distinction? Like, how does that get thrown out there? Like, is it in their reviews of an album? Oh, it's a female fronted band.
I just see it a lot when talking about like symphonic metal bands and having it be synonymous when female fronted band doesn't mean anything. I also see things like top bands with a female singer and it's kind of cringy, annoying. But yeah. Also, at the same time, promoting females in metal. You know, one thing, it kind of separates them and perpetuates the idea that they're kind of the other. But at the same time, they're being highlighted. What do you think about that?
I'm kind of cringing as you're talking about it because, yeah, I kind of don't think it should be a way to differentiate a band. I like highlighting diverse artists and minority artists. I appreciate that. I like that that gets done, but completely separating them and continually separating them just seems unnecessary and actually a detriment.
Yeah, right? It's a fine line.
And I'm a huge proponent of music standing on its own merit outside of whoever the artist is and whatever the artist looks like. And to some extent, whatever the artist believes, that's where it gets a little bit squishy because sometimes their beliefs can bleed into the music and then you're just completely put off.
Yep.
Or their beliefs are just so whacked that you're like, no matter how good this song is. But beyond that, it just seems unnecessary. I am stepping off of my soapbox now. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on that. It's been kind of a meme in the metal world. Female fronted band means nothing. It's not going to tell you what the band sounds like. It's kind of bullshit.
Well, and it starts to become bad when like bands are artificially putting a female in the lead just to get that attention.
Yeah.
There's pluses and minuses, but I appreciate this song and her badassery in it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, let's talk about the music, and I kind of already said it.
You said mathcore.
Yeah, they're a mathcore band.
Nerds.
But also, this song doesn't represent how the whole album sounds.
That's a shame.
So the album wavers in and out of indie rock.
Wow, that's quite a divergence.
Where she does clean singing, and it's strange. The first song's the intro, and the second song is an indie rock kind of pop song. And then this song comes on. And what the hell happened? And then the third song is kind of a mixture of the two. She goes back and forth between clean vocals and growling vocals.
Ah.
And those three songs bleed into each other.
Ah, hence the tapping of the cymbal.
Because it leads into the next song. And the song before this song leads into Rituals.
Ah.
So it's like a three-song suite.
Well, I like this song, but I don't know about the whole indie rock thing.
I kind of figured you would be concerned about the intro because it has this atonal sort of keyboard line and then a ton of doomy guitar hits and the vocals don't even come in until 45 seconds. So I imagine you sitting here like, damn it, Peter. Where's the vocals?
Well, I mean, I was honestly okay once the drums and guitar came in.
Okay.
Because I was like, okay, now it's making sense.
Yeah, but after that comes in, the vocals come in, the drums rip with the blast beat and it's in 7/8.
Oh, I didn't even feel that.
Yeah, 7 beats per measure. And then they do that climbing riff. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
That's in 5. And it alternates between 7/8, 5/4/4. So there's like a lot of time signatures in here. But that's, you didn't even notice?
Yeah, that's hilarious because I did not notice that at all. And that's why I was slightly surprised that you said mathcore, because usually mathcore, it's odd time signatures, yeah, right?
It's all over this.
I did not feel that at all. I felt like this was a banger in 4/4 the whole time.
No. So yeah, it starts off soft, has a real aggressive portion, and then it brings it back down. And she does this like halfway between talking and singing.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. It's just like staccato. It's singing, but short-clipped.
Short-clipped?
Short-clipped.
Short-clipped.
It's clipped.
Okay.
Right? That's staccato. It's like, dun-dun-dun-dun.
A lot of hardcore bands do this too, where they're not doing the full-out screaming, but they're not just talking either. So it's like somewhere in between there.
Yeah. It's just like staccato singing, but also on one note. so it seems like it's talking, right? Because there's not a lot of movement on the tone. It's one tone and it's staccato, so it seems like it's talking. But I thought, even if you want to call that talking, that's good talking. Because usually I'm not a fan of the talking over parts.
It's not straight up talking. All right. Yeah, and the song progresses from there and it builds back up. And the end, it starts to get more melodic. The guitar riffs become more melodic and there's that piano part behind it too. It gives us this really cool melody. But yeah, it does the whole trope of dissonant beginning to, in the end, it resolves to something melodic. It's that satisfying feeling of tension to release. All right, last thing I want to talk about is the lyrical content. Is it about religion, or could it even be about drugs, or could it be just about any self-imposed rituals that you do, like get up in the morning, brush your teeth, drink your coffee, just as simple as that? Were there any lyrics that stuck out?
I did not catch on to any lyrics really at all. There weren't any that really stuck out to me more. I think I was more digging just the overall song versus keen into like one particular part of it.
Okay, let's talk about some. Lulled by safety, lured into these acts, caught and suffocated, but refusing to expand from that.
That's a good line.
Rituals, they feel safe, right? You have this routine.
Or if you think about it from like a spiritual point of view, like the ritual is to keep you safe or like connect you to the spirits.
Yeah. Right after, she says, caught and suffocated, but refusing to expand. So like, it may be safe, but it prevents you from growing.
It can, right?
Yeah.
Or that it has to be done in that way in order to feel safe, but then it restricts and constrains creativity.
Another line that kind of stuck out to me is, you'll find it's not all what it seems, so pinch to feel the pain, bless to feel the sweet escape, until I fall again. So something needs to happen to you. Get yourself out of that safety net.
Yeah.
When you're in that safety net, the point is you don't want to feel the pain, but now you want to purposely inflict pain on yourself. Wake yourself up.
Yeah. That's usually what happens, right?
So that's a message to all of us. Do something outside your comfort zone.
Why did you have such a long pause there? That was very odd.
I don't know. I was trying to think of something. I don't know what was spinning. It's like the fucking rainbow wheel on the Mac. Or the hourglass.
I was like, what's happening right now? I was like,
you have to restart me.
It felt like you heard something possibly. I was like, what's that? What are you hearing? Okay, so let's bring it all back. I think it's a lovely way of portraying what we all know, that sometimes we need something bad or something jarring.
Yeah.
The way that you're doing something isn't perhaps the best way. And sometimes that can be a bit painful, especially if it's tied to spirituality and religion and that kind of thing, because there's such a historical grounding to those rituals that help to make you feel connected. At least for me, it helps to make me feel connected to like my ancestors and people before me and that kind of thing. And sometimes get a little disillusioned by that can be sad and painful.
Yeah.
And to realize that perhaps that way is no longer the best way for me sometimes requires that little pinch, as they describe it. So I totally see that. It's a beautiful way of describing that.
All right. Out of 5 Guy Pierces, what do you rate rituals?
I do love Guy Pierce. He's one of my husbands. I would give this one, I'm going to say 4 out of 5 Guy Pierces. I almost want to give it a 5.
4 point.
No. 4 point. No. Because points are bullshit.
4 point.
No.
You seem to want to give it a strong 4. So
I do want to give it a strong 4.
The only way to do that is...
No. Is to say 4.
4 point.
4.
3.
No.
7.
No.
9. 2.
No, because I don't do no bullshit decimal points. 4. Solid 4.
Okay.
I think the only thing that's holding me back a little bit is that I'm having a little bit of trouble finding something memorable. Like, I zoned out in the song pretty easily, which isn't a bad thing at all. Like, it doesn't get stuck in my head.
Yeah.
There's not something that's like drawn me back, but I did enjoy the song.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
There's not a clear verse, chorus.
Yeah.
And in a 3.5 minute song, if it changes that much.
Yeah.
There's a lot to deal with, and I can see that where nothing in particular sticks out. Okay, let's move on.
I'm excited about my song for you. This ain't a 20-minute town no more. It don't look the same. Red lights by streets, too much concrete. I don't recognize a thing. Ain't a 20-minute call no more. No, you don't call me at all. All the time and the whiskey, I'm always
you're still in the room. Smoke on my breath.
I am so excited for this next song.
Why so exciting?
I'm excited because I feel like I found a new artist that I like a lot. And so I'm excited to like share her with you.
All right. Who is it?
The song is called I Can't. The artist is Caitlin Smith. And then this song was redone with Old Dominion. Okay. So there's one version of this song on the album that's just her. And then this is the radio version where Old Dominion is duetting with her. So I give you that one.
Okay.
So it's off her 2020 album Supernova. What did you think?
First impression is song's cool. Not too bad. Good job. The keyboard and guitar.
I feel like that's high praise.
The keyboard and guitar intro, I like it. I like that. The drum beat is fairly simple, just fine. There's a guitar solo in it that's, once again, four measures, and they're singing over the top of it. So it's very underwhelming. And even at the end, the guitar tries, like, hey, guys, I want to be featured. No, fuck you. We're singing over this, too. Like, okay. Poor guitarist gets overshadowed, of course, by the vocalist. And I want to ask you this because I listened to this several times trying to pick up what it is. During the chorus, there's like a triplet pattern. I don't know what's playing it. It almost sounds like acoustic guitar strumming. But then when I listened to it again, I thought maybe it's something in the drums. Maybe it's a tambourine that's going...
Yeah, I heard that too. I actually like that.
What is it?
I thought it was the hi-hat.
Is it the hi-hat?
I thought it was the drums.
Okay.
But maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's a shaker.
You know, I cheated and I saw the music video version of this, of them in the studio recording it. And it doesn't look like the drummer is playing triplet pattern.
Oh, so maybe it is like a tambourine?
But they didn't show what was playing that part. They didn't show any of the overdub. They didn't show a person in a booth just shaking that tambourine. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so it sounds like a cymbal to me.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was the hi-hat, but maybe it's a ride, but it doesn't sound like a tambourine.
Yeah, when I listened to it after that, after I thought it was a tambourine, then I thought, no, it's not quite right. So maybe it is a hi-hat.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's buried in the mix, but I can feel it.
Yeah, I dug that. I like that a lot.
And then at the end, there's a vocal line of the Old Dominion dude that has the vocal effect on it, where it's kind of electronic in the club share sort of thing. And I wasn't a fan of that.
I didn't catch on to that part.
No?
Is that like, I believe, it's not from
Cher? Yeah, it's not quite auto-tune, but there's an effect on it that gives it a robotic vibe, which I don't know why. Why is that there? But okay, those are my problems.
But you don't like it.
Yeah, those are my problems with it. But overall, it's not a bad tune. It has a nice melody to it. And I think she went into the country checklist and said, mention whiskey, checkbox. That lyric where all the time and whiskey I wasted. Anytime I hear country artists just pander. Trucks, tractors, whiskey,
beer,
tequila, yeah. Jose Cuervo, Mexico. Like there's all these tropes and I'm gonna say whiskey.
I don't know. I don't think that's fair in this one. Like, because she doesn't overuse it, but she is like using it as a way to illustrate that she's down in the dumps enough to be drinking, right? Without just saying, I'm drinking all the drinks that I've drinked, right?
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know why that lyric just pops out into my head every time I hear it and it's just, oh, okay, you're doing the country thing of mentioning this thing that every country artist does.
So. Not everyone, but a lot of them, yeah. I get it. So to me, I dug her because she's a little more bluesy. Like her voice is a little raspier. She's got a little bit more folk blues melodies in the song that I really dug. It's still definitely in the country genre, but it's a little different than what I'm hearing on the radio a lot right now for country. And I did hear this song on the radio recently, and that's how I caught on to it. I was really excited because I dug this one. And she reminds me of Jade Bird a little bit. And also Norah Jones a little bit.
Okay.
So a little jazzy, a little bluesy mixed in with the country. So what did you think of the lyrics besides the whiskey part? Because her lyrics don't always rhyme. I don't know if you caught on to that. Like,
no, I didn't.
There's only a few that actually rhyme, and then she's like, ah, fuck it, I'm just gonna go with like what kind of fits with the rhythm and the melody.
Yeah, you're right. I just picked up the first line here. This ain't a 20 minute town no more. It don't look the same. Red lights, bars, streets, too much concrete. I don't recognize a thing. Looking at these lyrics, not quite rhyme, but I think she does a technique that Lily Rose was doing on Villain where it's a slant rhyme. So don't look the same. I don't recognize a thing. You can kind of make them rhyme.
Kind of. Yeah.
But technically, but not they really. Don't. Red lights, bars, streets, too much concrete. Like streets and concrete are close.
Yeah. But that's, it's not super stretch.
They both have the E and the E and the T. They have a T at the end as well.
Street, concrete.
Yeah. But it's not like the conventional rhyme, like Moon, June, Spoon thing. It's close enough, but yeah, you're right.
But it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't rhyme. Right? Yeah, but you don't really notice it in the song because it goes with the rhythm. What you're saying is it sounds close enough.
Yeah, so your ear's not like...
Yeah, you're not jarred out of it. Like, but
orange
really,
and silver.
Yeah. But one of the things that I love about this song is the lyrics. Smoke on my breath, chains on my chest. Like, goddamn, that's so... It paints such a picture. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody has been in a moment where they can relate to the fact that it's hard to breathe and that just like takes you there. That's beautiful. Even though it doesn't rhyme, it's still like poetry.
Yeah. What is a 20-minute town? Do you know what that is?
I don't. Do you?
Did you Google it? I had to look it up. It ties in together with an episode of Adam Ruins Everything that we saw, where Adam ruins
the suburbs.
Yeah. One side argued that the suburbs were good for humanity. And Adam said, actually, since you're so isolated from everything, you have to drive everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it used to be where everything was contained in a town where you lived there, you could walk everywhere and everything was convenient. Mm-hmm. And that's what a 20-minute town is. You can just do all your shit and walk everywhere in like 20 minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
But now that everything's all spread out, cul-de-sacs, suburbs, we all have to drive into town. And doing errands is a big ordeal now compared to living in a downtown area. Or
at least having like a straight lines, like straight roads that took you from your house to the store on the corner. Nowadays with suburbs and cul-de-sacs, the way that they're built is that you can't just walk as the crow flies, right? Yeah. You can't walk straight from your house to another location. You have to actually go in a circle. Right? I mean, we've all faced it where we're like, why am I turning around so much? Like, I just want to get out. I just want to go west.
Yeah, those neighborhoods where there's only one or two entrances in and out, but there's a maze inside.
Yeah, those are so frustrating.
So 20-minute towns is becoming less and less common.
Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense. And the more we dig into the lyrics a little bit, plus after watching the music video, it makes me rethink what the song is about. I totally, just listening to it and like hearing the lyrics that I could make out on my own, it made me think, okay, it's like a heartbreak song. But reading all of the lyrics and then watching the music video makes me realize that it could be a heartbreak song, but really it's a little bit more than that. It seems like it's more of like a breakup with live music or a breakup with a bar.
Yeah.
Which is super relevant for right now because of the pandemic, right? Live music was canceled for a full year, rightly so. I'm not saying it shouldn't have been, but that still hurts.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the live music venues have had to shut down because people aren't coming back right now. They're really gone because the pandemic has completely changed us for good or for bad.
Yeah.
It puts a different perspective on the song. It's a little sadder.
I read the lyrics as reminiscing over something from the past that is gone. Whether it be a lover, whether it be your town that's not the same anymore, whether it be music being gone, something in your past that you've lost and to fill the void. I guess you're drinking whiskey, whatever.
Dick, you like whiskey.
I do. But
so you would totally be drinking whiskey.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm tired of you feeling like a stranger.
Yeah, I thought that was a beautiful line. If you just think about a breakup, that person does start to feel like a stranger and you do feel weird about not being that close to that person anymore. Mm-hmm. So essentially you are strangers, but you still have that history and it's just not fair to really think of it as a stranger, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regarding the actual band members or artists in this song, Caitlin Smith, I believe she got her start as a songwriter first. So she wrote some songs for Meghan Trainor. And Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton had a duet. She was a part of that.
Oh.
She wrote for Avicii, Garth Brooks, Lady A.
Avicii?
Avicii, yeah.
Wow.
Now, that's what really all know about her too. And Old Dominion. Wait, does this song feature the entire band or just the dude that sings for Old Dominion?
Well, they're giving credit to the entire band. Oh, okay. So I'm assuming the entire band.
Do you know much about Old Dominion?
I do like some of their songs.
Okay.
I don't know much else about them. I haven't listened to a full album of theirs and I haven't like dug into them much, but when they're played on the radio, I tend to listen and dig in.
Cool. Caitlin Smith, have you listened to this album? Have you listened to Supernova?
Yeah, so you will be so proud of me and shocked and amazed because this song actually made me want to go and listen to her whole album.
Whoa, I am shocked.
That's a rarity for me. Yeah, I really liked her album. And I'm super excited to share this song with you because I think I found another like artist that is going to be one of my favorites. Like if I heard that album last year when it came out, that would have been on my top five. Mm-hmm. It was that good. I really like her.
Get on top of the music listening.
I know. I need to like catch up more because I have regrets now for my top five because yeah. Cam wasn't on there and she released an awesome album in 2020 that I didn't catch on to. Uh-huh. So can we go back and redo 2020?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. Let's re-record that whole episode because right. I have some songs to add to it as well.
Damn it. So how many whiskey bottles? We're going to play out that trope, Peter.
Okay. All right.
Out of five whiskey bottles, out of five bullet bottles, what would you rank this song?
I would give this a 3.6 bullet
so it's
bottles.
A four.
3.6 out of five.
You round up, that's a four.
It's a good song. Maybe my ears are adjusting to country. I don't know what's going on here. I didn't have any issues with how it sounded. It is more on the pop side rather than the old country twang side. Yeah, so 3.6. I mean, I like it. Four feels a little too strong. I don't love it that much, but it's got a nice hook. Whiskey trope, take a 0.02 off.
You're such a jerk.
The weird out of place vocal effect. I don't know why that's there. Take another 0.1 off of there. And then the guitar solo that was buried underneath the vocals because vocalists are more important.
Oh, stop.
That still bugs me too. So, you know, all those things detract from it. But overall, it's a good pop country tune.
Nice. I'll take it.
Thank you for listening to Two Songs, One Couple.
If you like what you hear and you want more, find us on
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts,
TwoSongsOneCouple.com,
Facebook,
Twitter,
and Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
I've been squirting it. I squirted it this week, dude. I gave it two squirts.
Scoop chocolate, chocolate,
chocolate, chocolate, chocolate sprinkles.
All right, peace out.
Peace. Time to poop.